now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have to have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Well, to my way of thinking, there is nothing better than a period film. I just love the journey that filmmakers can take us on. And these days, they really get that authenticity just right. And it's pretty much been that way since the 1990s. This week, a film I've been very, very keen to see. It's called Grace of Monaco, starring Nicole Kidman. It's going to be our spotlight with a good friend and movie reviewer, Laura, stopping by the Penthouse studio to let us know what she thought about the Sydney premiere of this film. We've got a cool blog to check out about the possible endings of Mad Men next year by good friend of the show, Chris Tiki Pinto. And stand by for lots of new music just to add to the Cocktail Nation music universe as we kick off now with one from Charlie Apicella and Sunday Morning on the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
is the Cocktail Nation. Thanks to Ultraswank.net.
Gone and got the blues in Paris. Paris blues called Azure Tay. How can I be blue in Paris? Easy, 'cause you're far away. Can't lose this blues, this Azure Tay. Sidewalk tables filled with people, always happy, always gay. Still I'm all alone in Paris, praying you'll return someday. Can't lose this blues, this Azure Tay. Funny taxis, kids at play. Paris without you is lonesome, yearning more and more each day. Can't lose this blues, this Azure Tay. If you knew how much I need you, you'd come back to me to stay. Having you with me in Paris really is the only way to lose this blues, this Azure Tay. Can't lose this blues, this Azure Tay.
With lounge leader Coop Cooper, new music there from Marianne Anderson and Azure Tay. This week we take a look at the controversial film called Grace of Monaco, starring Nicole Kidman.
Some of you ask, why did I leave Hollywood? Well, I left because I fell in love with a charming prince. Hitchcock offered me a role.
Were you considering accepting?
I miss it. I can be a mother and a wife and hold down two jobs without the people getting too upset, can't I?
But what about the prince?
What about the prince? The prince is very supportive.
Ray is never going to accept the idea of his princess going back into the movies. You know that, Gracie.
I don't know. It's always politics with him.
Mr. President, I've already given our allegiance.
Yours, Dex, all of Monaco.
That's not negotiation. That's extortion.
Have you thought that de Gaulle is looking for any excuse to take Monaco, even if it means turning you against me?
Say nothing! Everything you say has consequences!
I don't know how I'm going to keep living with him. I don't know how I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this place where I can't be me.
Who is that?
Hello, Ma.
You're not seriously thinking about coming back, are you? You're not an actress anymore.
Everything I do or say is wrong. Everything.
Why you still here, Grace?
Because I still love you.
He's meeting with a French private detective.
Family is all that matters. So what did de Gaulle promise you to sell out yours?
Mommy, why are you crying?
If you're family is to survive, you need to give them an ideal they can protect. And you need to do it alone.
Movie reviewer Laura stops by the Penthouse studio now. This film really has been panned by the critics and the Monaco royal family. Would you say it's deserved?
I think I can understand probably why they had criticism of it, because if they didn't agree with what Grace of Monaco did, then publicising her activities and things, you know, to the broader population is obviously going to ruffle their feathers a little bit. And of course, because it's a fictional depiction of what her personal life was believed to be like, if they don't think it was the way it appears on screen, then of course, yeah, they're going to have issue. But then that said, I mean, I don't think the movie says anything horrible about Monaco or says anything that they need to be worried about in terms of their reputation, because it is just a story on screen.
Yeah.
And they do premise the movie at the beginning with a very obvious statement about how it is fictional, just based on inspired events, you know. So the sort of production company take ownership of the fact that it might not be true to life.
Yeah. Now, what about the acting? What about the scenes? You know, this is a period piece, obviously. Do you think they got it right?
I think, like, personally, the story of Grace of Monaco is not one that is something I grew up with or knew a lot about before going into the movie. So seeing the way they did represent the sort of late 50s, early 60s, I feel like they did quite well with that. In terms of acting, though, I've got to say, I can see what people's issue is with Nicole Kidman's performance, because it was a very dull delivery of what I think, given the fact that they decided to make this movie, that the script writers felt there was value to Grace of Monaco's story, I think it was meant to carry a weight and heaviness and almost a performance that could have led to an Oscar kind of thing. Like, that's what I think the intention was with this film, but I just don't think Nicole Kidman's performance is going to get there.
Wooden was the word that some people used.
Yes, I think dull and wooden are probably two of the things, which I feel bad saying that, because Nicole Kidman, she's one of ours, you know. You don't want to think that she didn't do a great job, but I don't think it was her strongest performance at all.
Did they play on, because I know this is part of the story of it, talking about how Charles de Gaulle really wanted to get his hands on some of the money that's in Monaco. Of course, it's a principality. Do they really touch on that subject very much?
A little bit, yeah, because the political what was going on in the political scene at the time is obviously quite central to the storyline that they follow, so that features quite a lot. Obviously, you know, the way that the Prince of Monaco kind of handled everything is very much in the spotlight, you know, of the plot line. So, yeah, I think that's probably where, like we mentioned earlier, you know, the royal family not being too happy about it. I think that's probably why. Just that whole scenario.
And did you enjoy it? Would you recommend it?
It's a difficult thing. I think I'd recommend it for DVD, because if I had paid $19 to see that film, I would have felt a bit disappointed. Similar to the Diana movie, I feel like there's another movie about Grace of Monaco that will be made that people will appreciate a lot more. I think the story is valid, but I don't think the delivery was that great. Yeah. So I'd wait for DVD where you're not, you know, forking out a ticket price on it. Okay. Sorry, Grace of Monaco.
Thank you, Laura.
No worries, thank you.
Arthur Lyman now on the Cocktail Nation, and Anna.
I'm not afraid to Hello, baby.
The Cocktail Nation.
Out of everything fabulous in this here world, some girls just stand apart. Guys who drink martinis and wear cultured pearls have a special place in my heart. They both say perfection in their own way. To me, they are fine works of art. Gals who drink martinis and wear cultured pearls get me going right from the start. My pulse starts to quicken when I spy the white gleam of that pea-sized perfection from Oyster Supreme. Preferring martinis to Jack or Jim Beam. Well, it might seem extreme, but my thoughts turn obscene. So here's a little wisdom for all of you dames. Philosophy a la Descartes. If you drink martinis and wear cultured pearls, you found the best way to my heart. Oh! My pulse starts to quicken when I spy the white gleam of that pea-sized perfection from Oyster Supreme. Preferring martinis to Jack or Jim Beam. Well, it might seem extreme, but my thoughts turn obscene. So here's a little wisdom for all of you dames. Philosophy a la Descartes. If you drink martinis and wear cultured pearls, you found the best way to my heart. You found the best way to my heart. You found the best way to my heart.
www.cocktailnation.net.
Cinema Penthouse, The Lounge Lothario, Coop Cooper.
Mildred, he's at it again.
Music for your bachelor pad, The Cocktail Nation.
Quiet stars, quiet chords from my guitar, floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet thoughts and quiet dreams, quiet walks by quiet streams, and a window looking on the mountain. And the sea, how lovely. This is where I want to be, here with you so close to me, until the final flicker of life's ember. I, who was lost and lonely, believing life was only a bitter tragic joke, have found with you the meaning of existence, my love. Lost and lonely, believing life was only a bitter tragic joke, have found with you the meaning of existence, oh my love.
Cocktonation, Coop Cooper, Sinatra and Jobim with Quiet Nights. Good friend of the Cocktonation, Chris Tiki Pinto, wrote to me last week with a very cool blog on his page about potential endings for Mad Men next year. And he wrote that with Mad Men coming to a finale sometime in 2015, we've got plenty of time to speculate on how it might end. Will it end at 11:59 p.m. on December 31, 1969? Will there be another watershed moment like the passing of Bert Cooper? Or will the characters just go on with their lives with the ending not really being an ending at all? Just another day that ends with a black frame and perhaps just ends in the middle of a sentence. Just for fun, he came up with five possible endings for the final episode of Mad Men. And Chris says it's probably not very likely that they're going to be happening, but he says, I'm going to give the Mad Men writers a bit more credit than probably the article anticipates. He said these are kind of silly, fun, just for the hell of it kind of ideas. He says, I have a feeling the real finale is going to be incredible. Until then. So do check it out. They're quite long, so I won't read them out on the show to you tonight, but do check it out. Tiki Lounge Talk is the blog with those five possible endings. And I've got a link on my website as well for it as well, if you can't remember that, cocktonation.net. Do check it out. Very fascinating stuff. And I don't know, I think he might be on the money. Here's the Secret Agents with James Bond theme as we kick off a bit of a spy-fi type set right now.
Thank you. smiling, walk a mile to drink your water. You know I love to love you, and above you there's no other. We'll go walking out while others shout the war's disaster. Oh, we won't give in, let's go living.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Destination with Barry Adamson there and the Big Bamboozler. First heard that song as the introduction to a Piers Morgan documentary on Monte Carlo. And that's well worth checking out as well. Just simply type in Piers Morgan and Monaco. And it's a very interesting look at the wonderful principality that is Monaco, one of my favourite places in the world. Well, you might remember that I wrote a follow-up to my interviews book, Coop Cooper's Cock Donation, The Interviews, Volume 2. It's out right now. And you can find out more about the book by heading over to my site, cockdonation.net, and over at midcenturystyle.net. We spoke to the people behind that just last week. They've written a nice little review about my book as well. While you are at my website, cockdonation.net, check out a story about an upcoming documentary. And I love this one. It's about an international jewel thief by the name of Doris Payne. And it's called The Life and Crimes of Doris Payne, directed by Matthew Pond and Kirk Marcelina. It's a fascinating story about an 81-year-old woman who is as unapologetic today about the $2 million in jewels that she's stolen over a 60-year career as she was the day that she stole her first carrot. With Doris now on trial for theft of a department store diamond ring, they probe beneath the consummate smile to uncover the secrets of her trade and what drove her to a life of crime. Stylized recreations and an extensive archive, along with candid interviews, reveal how she managed to jet-set her way into any Cartier or Tiffany's from Monte Carlo or perhaps over into Japan and walk out with small fortunes. It's a fascinating look, the life and crimes of Doris Payne. Here's Tony Bottola now, Love in Every Room on The Compton Nation.
Thank you.
Funk Donation, Cuba Cuba with Alika Lyman and Kawahi Rose. Of course, that is from their new Lays of Jazz Volume 2 album. Some news this week, and you'll find this story on my News of the World tab of my website, cocktailnation.net. The Ben Rose House has just been sold. What is the Ben Rose House? Well, it's a mid-century modern home, and you might remember it as Cameron's crib from the 1986 film Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's been a bit of a hard sell, though. They just sold it for $1.6 million, which is significantly less than the original $2.3 million that they actually asked for it. This is a beautiful glass-walled building, and well worth checking out this story, because it has an incredible architectural history. It's designed by A. James Speyer in 1953, and well worth checking out. There's no red Ferrari there, though. Not likely to go out the glass. Let's take a look at the world of swank now. Thanks to pastimealbumclocks.com. Thursday, July 31, Jennifer Keith has her record release party over at the Edison in Los Angeles. Mod Palm Springs coming up in October. Mod-palmsprings.com if you'd like some more details on this one, October 10th through to the 13th. Martini Kings, various gigs over at the Togger Hut in Palm Springs right through to August this stage. I've got the links on my website. At the end of the year, we've got Weekend at Sinatra's in Palm Springs, California, December 12. DJ Baz plays Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. till midnight on the patio at Azul, which is over at 369 North Palm Canyon Drive in Palm Springs. Hukilau, June 11. Otter's Grotto, every Thursday, over at Forbidden Island Alameda. And Jack Crosley's Lost World is back after 12 years. Second Tuesday of every month, 8 p.m. until 9:30. And don't forget, TikiCon 2014 is coming up July 11, the Pacific Northwest Polynesian Pop Extravaganza at the Red Lion Hotel, Vancouver at the Key. If you've got some gigs that you'd like to have us put up on the website and, of course, mention on the radio, all you need to do is email thecocktailnation@gmail.com. On my website, cocktailnation.net, I've got a little tab about getting in touch with the show, so check out that if you'd like to find the various ways that you can get in touch with us. David Carbonara now, and Elevator Gossip on the Cocktailnation.
Is the Cocktail Nation music.
So with Picasso Frenzy on the Cocktailnation with Lounge Leader Coop Cooper, thanks to ultraswank.net. Next week, we are taking a look at the life of one Johnny Carson. Going to leave you now with Laura Ainsworth, and you'd be surprised. Stay hip.
Johnny was bashful and shy. Nobody understood why Mary loved him. All the other girls passed him by. Everyone wanted to know how she could pick such a beau with a twinkle. He's not so good in a crowd, but when you get him alone, you'd be surprised. He isn't much at a dance, but then when he takes you home, you'd be surprised. He doesn't look like much of a lover, but don't judge a book by its cover. There's a devil in his eye. He's such a delicate thing, but when he starts in to squeeze, you'd be surprised. He doesn't look very strong, but when you sit on his knee, you'd be surprised. At a party or at a ball, I've got to admit he's nothing at all. Continued to praise Johnny's remarkable ways to the ladies, and you know advertising pays. Now Johnny's never alone. He has the busiest phone almost every other. He's not so good in the house, but on a bench in the bar, you'd be surprised. He isn't much in the light, but when he gets in the dark, you'd be surprised. I know he looks as slow as the eerie, but you don't know the half of it, dearie. He looks as cold as an Eskimo, but there's fire in his eyes. He doesn't say very much, but when he starts in to speak, you'd be surprised. He's not so good at the start, but at the end of a week, you'd be surprised. On a streetcar or in a train, you'd think he was born without any brain, but in a taxi cab, surprised. He's not so good at the start, but at the end.